get into the concept of growth as a process versus growth as an instantaneous experience. This is so interesting. I find myself coming up to this a lot. This curiosity or this question, like, what's that about? It feels like of the ideas, perhaps the mind is attached to. Thinking things happen in a process is a big one.
It makes me ask the question, where does any process begin?
Can a process begin anywhere other than this moment?
Thank you for that. So the process for sure uses the present moment. Everything does. Even recalling the past uses the present moment.
Oh, that's an interesting... uses.
It's like the means to the end, right? If you're trying to get to the grocery store, you use the car. You use the present moment to get... You're not in the car driving for the sake of being in the car driving. You're in the car driving for the sake of getting to whatever place you're trying to go to. Right?
As with the process, the intention is to move from somewhere to another, some beginning point, process to another point.
So when I ask, where does a process begin? Does it begin in the present moment? Or is there something that leads to the starting of the process, which you just described?
I'm hearing it's never anywhere else. There is nothing else in the present. But I think you're asking to point somewhere, and I'm curious.
Yeah. So by the time one arrives at the... Let's take the example of going to the store. Going to the store, yes, exists in the present moment. You're using the moment and you're using the car and that to get to the store. Where did that come from? Did you just spontaneously find yourself driving the car? Or was there something that began that process?
Perhaps the thought of, hey, I need to go to the store. I need some peanut butter.
Lord knows.
Stop what you're doing. Everybody freeze.
Yeah.
This house needs peanut butter.
Yeah. And so going to the store, enacting the process of getting to the store, or enacting the process of getting the peanut butter, or enacting the process of eating peanut butter, requires this whole process, right? And does it start with the process unfolding? No. I mean, it's where you get into weird definitions, but to speak about it, it starts with, like you said, the thought. It starts with the perception in the silly example of, I don't have peanut butter.
Recognition, perhaps?
Recognition, perception of maybe a lack, right? It's not always so harsh, but it's the acknowledgement of a state that there is a compulsion to shift or change, or upon recognizing that state, there's another state desired.
Yes.
Right? Which in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. But it does... Does that require a process?
Does what require a process?
The acknowledgement of a state that one is in and the arrival at another state,
mm-hmm.
a desired state.
Mm. Ooh. And so we get into, does it differ when the process is external versus internal?
Mm.
So it's
question.
Like when you recognize you don't have peanut butter, you're lacking peanut butter. Is a process required to then have that scoop of peanut butter in your hand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the desire to have peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think typically we wonder and consider the process as opposed to the motivation behind the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? If one doesn't want peanut butter, there's no process that's necessary.
Mm.
Especially if it's in the moment where you don't have peanut butter and where peanut butter requires a process to be obtained.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But say you're in town for whatever other reason. And this is just a hypothetical example, right? But say you're in town and you're walking by the grocery store and it's like, zoop, there's still a process, but it's so minimal to go ahead and do that, that you're not enacting this big chain of events to acquire that peanut butter, right? Or it's lumped in with a, perhaps a need as opposed to a want. Right? Like, say that literally you don't have food, right? Or one requires more food in order to, like, eat in a particular moment. And so you go and acquire that food, and in the process, you gather what's necessary for that want of peanut butter. Maybe you don't need it, but you want it, right? But you don't, one isn't required to enact an auxiliary process in order to fulfill the desire.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So there's one way of looking at it. There's the other aspect of, and this is something that Krishnamurti talks a lot about, is the immediacy of recognition or of clarity. That clarity is an immediate thing and that doesn't require a process, so to speak. Everything happens in the present moment, right? And outside of our classifications of time and outside of our understanding of a linear movement, the clarity itself, an acknowledgement itself, a realization itself is an immediate moment that can be arrived at, so to speak, through a process, seemingly. But the actual clarity itself is an immediate momentary. It's an immediate moment. The clarity itself, a realization itself, isn't a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helps to be aware of that, because oftentimes we lump them together of like, I need to do this thing in order to have clarity.
Process is required to reach a point of clarity or point of recognition.
Right, they're tied together typically. When one recognizes that actually the moment of clarity is immediate, it's an instant, it itself is not tied to any process. It's a moment of its own,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. I think that that helps, because the process isn't necessary for that to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that recognition, with that understanding there, one begins to question, or one can question the origin of what enacts a process, which you said before is a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thought. And so we'll move from like the external example to like an internal one. What arises for you?
Yeah, because this is what I often hear you say in these moments where I'm coming upon a recognition, or when we dig into a pattern or a narrative or an idea that I have about myself that is seen for being dysfunctional or false or something that holds me back.
Mm-hmm. Something that you see in that way?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I often hear you say that the shift or transformation or releasing, letting go, happens instantaneous. It's not a process. It's instantaneous. It's instant, or it's not. And this is often applies to when I'm coming up upon a behavior or pattern that I'm wanting to let go of, or that I'm wanting to see beyond or kind of transcend or transmute. And I hear you say it's instantaneous.
Mm.
And for a while, my ego kind of resisted that and brought up the old narratives of, you know, no, things take time. It takes time to let go of things. It takes time to move on from patterns and behaviors. It takes time to shift and grow. It takes time to heal. It takes time and practice. And so it's been a process. It's so fun.
Uh-huh.
It has been a process of opening up to the concept that it's instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a process at all. What do you make of that?
Well, look at how, you know, we're speaking from like the Western perspective, right? Or, you know, growing up in the United States, especially, we were not provided with tools to really live in the present moment.
Mm. And often developed the coping mechanism of escaping the present moment.
Yeah, and in terms of what we're speaking of here, it was like we learned more process-oriented things.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to present moment, you know, like the word comes to mind, activations.
Yeah.
You know, activating a moment.
Mm.
Being active, you know, in bringing action to acting in this moment.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the present moment, where the only place that action can occur.
Mm, and
you
that,
know?
That word activation, when something is activated, it happens.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I make of all that you just said was that the typical approach to any given thing is that it does take time, you know? And I feel that that makes sense until it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Even that phrase, I'm saying, it takes time.
Mm.
It takes time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That
yeah.
feels like it's, yeah, exploiting or using or controlling.
You could even say it makes time, because time isn't there.
Mm.
But
ooh.
when we define things based on a process, we define time. We make the process, the elapsing of time in a linear fashion, we make that out of our interpretation of what's going on. Time itself isn't there. And a lot of indigenous cultures will make that clear by contrast, is that things don't occur in such a linear way that we've defined it to occur. So when we speak of this process, like to get to it, like to actually get at the actual heart of what we're talking about here, we typically learn that things require a process, that it requires time. This is our understanding. This is what's been built up as like the narrative of reality. And yet, simultaneously, if anything happens, it happens in the present moment. Even that process is what we define as a string of interconnected, linear progression of all of these separate moments that we compartmentalize from beginning to end. When that notion is let go of, it's just the present moment. And the linearity of time becomes something that you can either interpret or hold loosely. And it appears that if the notion of the linearity is held loosely, other things are able to arise. And that is an entry point to recognizing the potential of something being instant. And so what's the difference between a recognition now and a recognition in a process? Is how the now is being acted upon. If one acts in the present, in the understanding or interpretation that something requires a process, what they will do is enact a process. They will be in the acting out of a process. If one is in the understanding or the interpretation that something occurs in this moment, which is always here, not actually moving. The present moment isn't moving. Everything's moving through the present moment, you could say. Everything within the present moment is moving, but the moment itself doesn't move. It's not moving through time. It's not like it's 2020 and then it's 2022 and that moment is moving through anything. No, everything's moving within the present moment. And the, like, time isn't anything real. It's just a mental framework to, like, orient ourselves, which I think is helpful, can be helpful if applied, and then the boundaries of that understood, you know, that there's a realm in which time functions, and then there's all the rest of existence and all the rest of reality beyond what that pertains to, you know? And so, okay, how does one approach the present moment as the instant of that which is active, as opposed to the space in which a process unfolds, which is the same thing as saying the means to the end, right? The getting in the car, not for the sake of being in the car, but to get to some other destination, right? As opposed to being here now for this moment right here, right now, right? And so it's an interesting conundrum that arises is, okay, within that framework, does one try to get somewhere else that would typically be arrived at through a process? Because it's a recognition that there's a desire back of that. If somebody wants to shift something in their life, or like you were speaking to, like being in the ego, being, you know, seeing these different dynamics playing out within us, and then inevitably wanting to arrive somewhere else. For sure, that requires this sense of like being somewhere other than we are. Right? what if the means to, it's weird, it's kind of a paradox, but what if the means to being somewhere else is to really be where we are and looking at that, acknowledging it, going into it, rather than setting something somewhere else and then trying to go to that.
Yes.
See the difference there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where we came to be what is.
Yes.
To be what is.